We're in a series on the fruit of the Spirit, so welcome to worship. Today's our theme is faithfulness. And you know, the longer I live and the more I experience, the more I'm convinced that despite what we see around us, God works His purposes out. God is faithful. God is faithful. And we can stake our life on His faithfulness. We can stake our life on the fact that He knows us. The hairs of our head are numbered. And He will come through for us every time. I want to encourage you with those words this morning, that no matter what you're going through, God sees it, He sees you, and God is faithful. Scripture tells us that over and over again. So put your trust in Him this morning as we come before Him. Would you join me, please, in the prayer of confession? Dear Lord, we come to You as broken vessels, full of our own preoccupations. We do things and think things that are not reflective of Your nature. We have become stressed, worried, and resentful, and our prayers have little gratitude. Forgive us, O Lord, and shine the light of Your presence into our lives. Restore our hearts to praise and thanksgiving, and make us faithful people as You have been faithful to us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. The Scripture is true and full of great promises. One of the greatest promises is this: if we confess our sins, God is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Friends, believe the good news of the gospel. In Jesus Christ, you are forgiven.
Would you join me for the prayer of the people? O Lord, we come to You this morning with praise and thanksgiving for all You have done for us and all the ways that You have blessed us. First, we praise You for being our Lord and Savior. We praise You for giving us life both here on earth and the hope of eternal life with You in heaven. We praise You for the blossoming trees and the wildflowers on the hillside and the signs that spring is coming. We praise You for our loved ones, the people who encourage and support us and help remind us of Your presence in our lives. We praise You for the way You provide for us on a daily basis with food and shelter and safety. Forgive us, O Lord, for the many ways we have shut You out and shut out Your presence and not been honorable representatives of You in the world around us. O Lord, we ask that in this season of Lent that You would help us to stop and notice You more as a God who is relevant, personal, and who wants to be present in our lives. We are grateful for that eternal truth. Today we especially remember those who are dealing with the loss of loved ones. We think of Pat Moore's family, who is grieving her recent death, and we think of Marshall Steller's family as they continue to mourn his passing. We lift up those who are struggling with health concerns. May You give them hope and strength in their struggle and their pain. We pray for people who are facing depression during this time when everyone is supposed to be festive and happy. May You break through to them and give them joy. We pray for those who feel alone and those who are struggling with finances or job loss, and those with difficult relationships at work or in their families. In Your mercy, be a light and a guide to them. We think of our community and the needs right here in Cupertino. For those who are homeless and have nowhere to go, be a refuge for them and provide. For those who struggle with limited income, in Your mercy, help them. We are bombarded by injustices in our world and the suffering of those affected by war and by corrupt governments. We ask for wisdom for the world leaders and for safety for all people. We pray for the mission going on all over the globe, and we pray for the encouragement and wisdom of those who have gone out to lend a hand. Show us ways, both big and small, that we personally can make a difference to the needy in the world around us. Lord, we know that You hold the beginning and the end in all things. And one day there will be no more crying and no tears. But until that day, we ask that You will fill us with the Holy Spirit so that we can be Your hands and Your feet in a broken world that needs Your love. Confident that You are faithful and generous and that Your plan is bigger than anything we can see right now, and we're aware of Your promise and Your steadfast love from generation to generation. We now pray the prayer that you taught us, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever.
Our God is indeed a faithful God. That's one of my favorite songs. It gets me every time. So hear the word of the Lord to us on this glorious day. From Lamentations 3:22-23. Because of the Lord's great love, we are not consumed, for his compassions never fail. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. And from Psalm 91:4, he will cover you with his feathers, and under his wings you will find refuge. His faithfulness will be your shield and your rampart. From the New Testament, 2 Thessalonians 3:3, but the Lord is faithful, and he will strengthen you and protect you from the evil one. From Hebrews 10:23, let us hold unswervingly to the hope that we profess, for he who promised is faithful.
Thank you, Celeste. I could have had 90 scriptures for you on God's faithfulness this morning. Those are a few of the promises that we have in Scripture that God is faithful. Well, a little while ago, Senator Mark Hatfield tells of touring Calcutta with the late Mother Teresa and visiting the House of the Dying there, where sick children are still cared for, even posthumously, after the death of Mother Teresa. This is still going on. They're cared for in their last days, and they just line up by the hundreds to receive medical attention there. But Senator Hatfield was there when Mother Teresa was still alive, and he was overwhelmed by the magnitude of the suffering that he saw there, and how much Mother Teresa and her co-workers poured out to these people. And he said to her, how can you bear the load without being crushed by it? He asked her that question. And Mother Teresa replied, my dear Senator, I am not called to be successful. I am called to be faithful. I am called to be faithful. And so are we. Proverbs 3:3-4, let love and faithfulness never leave you. Bind them around your neck. Write them on the tablet of your heart. We are called to be faithful. The Online Urban Dictionary is a publication for new slang and buzzwords. I don't know if any of you are aware of that. And these buzzwords have been added to our vocabulary on a regular basis. And one word on its site is stick-to-itiveness. Let's all say that together. Stick-to-itiveness. That's what you're going to remember from this. You got stick to it. Defined as the ability to persevere and endure to the point of overcoming a particularly difficult obstacle. Faithfulness is that ongoing act of stick-to-itiveness in both relationships and circumstances. In Paul's list of the fruit of the Spirit in a believer's life, he lists faithfulness. And Julia, would you come up and put the fruit of faithfulness on the tree? It's a banana today. It's two bananas today. Maybe that means sometimes it's easier to be faithful when we're partnering with someone or partnering with the Lord too. Thank you, Julia. The word for faithfulness, for faith in the Greek is pistis, but when used in the way that it is used when the fruit of the Spirit are listed, the meaning is fidelity or the character of one who can be relied on, trustworthiness. And you may be thinking, okay, that's about God, but God in his faithfulness actually asks us to be faithful to him in the same way that God is faithful to us. Faithfulness is a characteristic of God. The psalmist declares, your love, Lord, reaches to the heavens, your faithfulness to the skies. I'm trying to get all these faithfulness scriptures in here this morning. The Old Testament word for faithfulness is emunah, and literally means firmness, figuratively means security, and morally means fidelity. Now, all of this is great. In church, we can say, yeah, God is faithful. We believe this intellectually, all right? And it sounds good. And academically, we agree. But we might sometimes think to ourselves, and maybe keep it to ourselves, that even though God has said he is faithful, sometimes, as far as we are concerned, there are things in our lives and in the world, right, that are not the way we would wish them to be. God has not perhaps answered our prayers the way we wanted, and certainly has not met our expectations the way we had hoped for. I think if we are all honest, we would agree to that. So, although we may say God is faithful in a global kind of abstract way, perhaps in church on Sunday, we might not be so convinced that God is faithful to us in the details, the things that matter to me, to us, and also in terms of all the injustice in the world. What good is God, and how can I talk about his faithfulness when things are not going the way I want them to go? Now, Tim Keller's a wonderful Christian author, and he put it this way. He said, if you say this, well, I'm interested in this Christianity, and maybe I'll come and bite on it if I can see that it will help me reach my goals and make me happy and make my life easier. Then he says, if you do that, you're not coming to God, you're coming to a butler. Now, either God exists or he doesn't exist. And if he doesn't exist, you can't come to him at all for anything, right? It's just not possible. But if God does exist, you have to realize you must come to him because he created you, and therefore God owns you. You love that slide? To not come to him and obey him would be an injustice, right? The only way to come to God rightly, the real God, is to come without condition and to say, forget happiness, forget my goals or aspirations, things that I think are so important. Rather, I owe you everything. If you come to God like that, you will find God faithful in every situation you encounter, because there are only two ways to come to God. You can come to God on the basis of saying, I owe you everything, you owe me nothing. Or you can come on the basis of saying, I'm going to come to you and do some good stuff, and then show up for me. You owe me a lot of things for doing the good things that I'm doing. And quite frankly, the only way for you to know on what basis you have come to God is to see what happens to you in the bad seasons. In the seasons where things are not going well. When things go wrong, do you sometimes get upset and say, what good did it do for me to come to church? God isn't faithful to me. He doesn't care about me. What good did it do for me to read the Bible? This or that circumstance didn't come out the way I wanted it to. God isn't faithful to me. What good does it do to be a Christian when God doesn't seem to respond to me when I pray? Do you know what that shows? My number one priority is what I want, and I'm using God as a way to get there. As opposed to saying, my number one priority is to serve the God who died for me, poured out his life for me. And if happiness happens, great. If life circumstances change, great. But whether or not it goes my way, I love you, Lord, and I give it all to you. So often I am so confident that God's faithfulness can be trusted when I can see that things are working out the way I feel they should be working out. But what about the other times when things are not working out the way I would like? I remember being so distraught about a situation that I was in years ago as a young pastor, just getting used to a new church situation. And it was a very difficult church. I was working so hard in a particular department and getting little acclaim as a Christian educator. And my supervisor, for some reason, seemed to constantly criticize everyone, including me. And I so wanted to quit, but I couldn't because of financial reasons. And I just felt in a terrible bind. I became cross and grumpy, a real pain to be around. Tim told me that. My husband told me that. And I went to see a mentor and friend about this. And this man was older and wiser and a longtime Christian. He looked me right in the eye after listening to me rant and rave and worry and get all worked up. And he said these words I'll never forget. He says, Kim, God has been faithful to you in the past. He will not let you down now. Be confident in him. Trust his faithfulness. He will come through for you, but it may not be what you expect. It may be at a different time, in a different way. But if he doesn't come through for you, Kim, you, my dear, are in the wrong business. Get out of the ministry now. And I've always remembered those words. And yes, it was a very difficult time for me. And things did not just magically get better. But I learned so much in that situation. And eventually, yes, something new opened up when I thought it never could. And I was able to leave and go to a much better situation. But I began to think to myself, I tell people to trust in God's faithfulness all the time, but I don't do a very good job of it myself. When I can't see the outcome and circumstances go south, sometimes I act like God isn't there. The joy goes out of my life. I start to worry about everything. I become the wicked witch to those I love the most because maybe I'm not as confident as I think I am that God is faithful, utterly trustworthy. I've shared with you before that people often say at the end of their lives, if I had it to do all over again, I would have worried less and trusted in God's faithfulness more. They did a study, and that's what people said. Now, here's the irony here. The less you're concerned about your happiness, okay, and equating God's faithfulness to you with circumstantially things getting changed for your benefit, okay? The less you're concerned about that, the more you are focused on the Lord and the more you're focused on gratitude and recognizing that God owes you nothing. You owe him everything. If you have that perspective, the more you will see God's faithfulness at work in your life. It's an irony. And this is not a trick. You know, you can't go, oh, great, now I get it. I'll come to God and I'll say this and this and this and this. Then I'll get what I want after all. You can't play games with the omnipotent Lord of the universe. There's a great quote. It goes like this. It says, aim at heaven and you will get earth thrown in. Aim at earth and you get neither. A colleague of mine shared a story about being exhausted coming back from a missions trip in Africa. And they were in the airport waiting for their next flight, you know. And he's praying to God saying, and I often do this. I do too. He says, Lord, you know, I'm all out for you. I mean, look at all I've done for you in this mission trip. My gosh, I've fed the hungry and built houses for you and prayed with people all week long in Africa. So in exchange for all this service I have done in your name for this last flight, could you please give me a window seat? So I could get a little bit of rest. Leaning up against the side of the plane there, you know, with a blanket all curled up nice. And no sooner, these are his words now, he says, had I internally prayed that prayer, then I was called up by the gate agent and I received my boarding pass, 21A. It was a window seat. And I boarded that flight and I nestled up against that window like I was home in bed. God had definitely rewarded me, he said, his good and faithful servant, by answering my prayer. I was thinking about that as I was dozing off, how faithful God was to me. That is, until the man next to me tapped me on the arm and said, excuse me, I'm traveling with a friend who is across the aisle. Would you mind trading seats with him? I looked over, he said, he's a funny guy. He says, I looked over and tears began to well up in my eyes because he was sitting in a middle seat where there is weeping and gnashing of teeth. And I could hear God talking to me saying, trust me with your comfort. It's not what you wanted, but it's a chance to trust me in this. The man next to me could tell I was not too excited about this request. So he upped the ante a bit. He said, I'll pay you $100 to move. As someone asked my colleague that night when he told that story, did you really take it? Did you take the money? And my friend replied, he forced me to take it, just wouldn't let me not have it. So I promised I would do something really good with it, like I'll probably schedule a massage or something just to help me recover from sitting in that middle seat. You know, no matter who you are or what you're going through or where you're sitting, God is always inviting you to trust in his faithfulness just a little bit more. But here's the catch. Trusting God's faithfulness is not always an easy thing to do. Like any relationship, trust involves risk. Trust involves uncertainty. Trust involves a potential for letdown and disappointment and not always having things work out the way we would wish. And yet, when we dare to trust in God's faithfulness first, when we approach life recognizing that God owes us nothing, we owe him everything, and that our interpretation of events as being reflective of God's favor and faithfulness is completely off base. I'm going to say that again. Our interpretation of events, okay, working out the way we want them to, as being reflective of God's favor and faithfulness is completely off base. We get to a place, friends, as we mature spiritually, where we can trust God's faithfulness in the midst of the storm. And here's a huge secret. When you can do that, Holy Spirit power is released. When you trust more in God's faithfulness than the circumstances around you, Holy Spirit power is released. And friends, God does come through for us every time, all the time, but not in our time, and often not the way we thought. And often God works in the midst of adversity, using the adversity for his purposes. We just sang the hymn, Great is Thy Faithfulness, and we're coming back to it after this. That was my mother-in-law's favorite hymn. I remember her singing it in the kitchen. She would sing it all the time. But do you know who wrote that hymn? Great is Thy Faithfulness? Thomas Obadiah Chisholm. He was born in a log cabin in Franklin, Kentucky in 1866. He became a Christian at age 27 and was ordained as a Methodist pastor. But do you know what? He could only serve in the ministry for 1 year, 1 year only, due to ill health. And he was forced to resign because he was so weak. He just couldn't handle it. He had to move his whole family, and he became an insurance broker and was very poor most of his life. But here's a quote from him. He said, God has given me many wonderful displays of his providing care, which have filled me with astonishing gratefulness. Something? And it was that gratitude to God, you know, not that God owed him anything, but that he owed God everything, that inspired that great hymn. And you know, so many of the hymns we have of praise to God originated, for the most part, not from people who had found that God's faithfulness meant that everything went their way and that God answered all their prayers the way they wanted him to. Quite the opposite. So many of our hymns have come from people who found God faithful precisely when things were not going their way, when circumstances were terrible for them. And I want to share, I want to close with sharing a few of these with you. Fanny Crosby, who wrote "To God Be the Glory," you know, "To God Be the Glory," that one was completely blind. So was George Matheson, who wrote "O Love That Will Not Let Me Go." What a statement of faithfulness, "O Love That Will Not Let Me Go," completely blind. Also blind was William Wofford, who wrote "Sweet Hour of Prayer," completely blind. Charlotte Elliott, who wrote "Just As I Am," without one plea. She was a bedridden invalid when she wrote that great invitational hymn. Catherine Hankey wrote "I Love to Tell the Story," that one. Also confined to her bed as well, recovering from a serious illness. That's when she wrote that hymn. Major Daniel Whittle, now this is amazing, Major Daniel Whittle, who wrote the hymn, "There Shall Be Showers of Blessing," he was a Civil War amputee. Civil War amputee. "There Shall Be Showers of Blessing." William Cooper, who wrote "God Moves in Mysterious Ways," as well as Joseph Scriven, who wrote "What a Friend We Have in Jesus." They both suffered from serious mental illness, both suffered with bouts of suicidal depression. Horatio Spafford wrote, "It is well with my soul," after all four of his children drowned at sea. Thomas Dorsey wrote, "Precious Lord, take my hand," after his wife died, giving birth to their son, who also died. These are just a few examples of many. And you say, but God wasn't faithful to them. Look at all they suffered. And I would say, being a Christian doesn't mean you don't suffer, folks. Where did we ever get that idea? And God's faithfulness has nothing to do with having our circumstances line up the way we want them to. The Bible is full of suffering. Jesus suffered more than any one of us. God's faithfulness is about God never letting go of our hand through the storm and of fulfilling his promises to us and his purposes in his own way at his own time. Like the anthem, the choir just sang, never once did we ever walk alone, right? Never once did we ever walk alone. These folks I just mentioned were focused on praising God for his faithfulness to them, which they knew was the truth, even though things weren't going their way at the time. And because, don't miss this, and because they had the courage to proclaim that truth in the midst of their own personal trials and difficulties, Holy Spirit power was released. Because think about it. Think of all the people who have sung these songs since and been blessed, transformed, and ministered to. Those people back then had no idea that the songs that were born out of their own personal tragedy would inspire and encourage thousands. It's because they had the courage to say, "You don't owe me anything. I owe you everything. You are faithful, whether things go my way or not, and I put my trust in you." So, folks, may we put our full confidence in the faithfulness of Jesus Christ, who poured his life out for us. Let us pray together. Lord God, we look around us, we look at our lives. And so often, Lord, we can doubt you. We can doubt your faithfulness. Lord, give us courage to know that despite circumstances, despite what we may see with our eyes, you are faithful. You do work your purposes out for your people. You do love us. And we can stake our lives on your love. Help us to praise you, to stay firm and confident in your love and faithfulness, even when circumstances go awry. And may we be sure to work with you to release that Holy Spirit power that comes when we look to you first and trust you first and love you first. In Jesus' name, amen.
From the fountain I drink from, oh, he is my song. Let the king of my heart be the shadow where I hide the ransom for my life. Oh, he is my song. And you are good. Good, good. Oh, you're so good. Good, good. Stand and sing with us.
Thank you so much for worshiping
with us this morning. And just know that God is faithful to you no matter what your circumstances, no matter what you're going through today. You can stake your life on your love for, on his love for you, and you can be confident in that. That's an unshakable truth. That's an unshakable truth, folks. May the God of faithfulness bless you with power in the Holy Spirit to know how much God loves you, how much he loves you, and may you go out and trust him, letting the power of the Holy Spirit be shed abroad to all who need to know him too. Amen.